This is Archer of ArcherRadio.com. Today is Thursday, or excuse me, not Thursday, sorry. Today's Wednesday, August 23rd, 2006. Of course, I'm recording this on Wednesday night, so I've got the dates totally fucked up. And I'm having an issue with my headphones. The left one is not very loud for some reason. Anyway, I want to talk tonight about... I keep saying tonight when you're hearing it during the day. I got to stop doing that. Anyway, as you probably heard on the news, there's been a tropical depression that is forming off of the African coast called, well, if it forms itself properly, it will be Debbie. And that's the fourth named storm this year. But none of them have really developed into any hurricanes or anything that's been damaging. But what that does is that, however, this one is supposed to be pretty big right now, and there's a possibility it could form into a storm. Maybe by the time you're hearing this, it has. But in any case, it brings up the whole history of Katrina and the fact that the one-year anniversary to Katrina is coming up next week. And that really, of course, you heard the boyfriend and I talking about this on Sunday when we were talking more about the president and how the slow government response and all that stuff. But there was a thing on the news today, locally, that is. I don't know if it was national news or not, but a Katrina victim has driven his FEMA trailer all the way from New Orleans to, and he parked it right in front of the White House, and he invited the president to come to have dinner at his house, quote-unquote house, and for him to see what it's like been living, what it has been like living in a FEMA trailer for the last 8, 9, 10 months or whatever, however long he's been living in it. But of course, the president said that he did not, well, his spokesman or somebody from the White House said he doesn't have time to come out and, he, you know, thanks him for the invitation, all that stuff. So of course, he's not going to see what it's really like to live in a FEMA trailer. And you know, that made me, well, not that, but thinking about Katrina, I wanted to find out the statistics on it and so forth. So when I typed Katrina into Google, an entry comes up for Wikipedia. Now, I'm not a huge fan of Wikipedia, but they do have some statistics that I believe are accurate, because it looks like they update them on a regular basis in terms of you know, the statistics and so forth. And as of today, 1,836 people died in Katrina. And about 1,500 of them were in the New Orleans area. And as far as away as, like, Ohio, two people died. But the other thing that's a little scary, a statistic, is that 705 people are still listed as officially missing from the hurricane. So if that were to, if they were to come up dead, then that would be one of the highest natural disasters in our nation's history. I believe there was a hurricane like in the 1800s that had like 3,000 people, but anyway, so there's still lots of people missing, and they think that the majority of them were washed out to sea, so they may never be recovered. The other thing I thought was interesting, which of course I think anybody who can think for 2 seconds would guess that this would be the case, is that Hurricane Katrina was the costliest natural disaster in our nation's history. $81.2 billion in damages. Now, that's just damages. That's not the government's money that they put into supporting it or anything like that. It's just the actual damage that was caused by Hurricane Katrina. That's a lot of fucking money. But that's a drop in the bucket compared to what we are spending in Iraq. And I really don't want to go there, but I'll go there a little bit later. But the whole remembering Katrina thing is being replayed again this week, because on HBO, I don't know if any of you have HBO, but if you don't, you might want to consider getting it, because Spike Lee has been doing, well, he did a four-part, basically a documentary on life after Katrina, when the levees broke or something like that. I forget exactly what it's called, but I watched the first parts last night, and the second parts are on right now as I speak, but I will be watching them. But an amazing documentary. He shows amazing footage, people's stories, the response. He talks to all the politicians. Of course, totally slams the United States government and their response to Hurricane Katrina, which, you know, is justified, I believe. And, I mean, he breaks it down into individual stories, into, you know, how it's affected the nation and so forth. It's a really, really good documentary. It really, I actually got a little choked up at a couple points in that first two parts. Really an excellent, excellent documentary on Hurricane Katrina. If you have HBO and you haven't seen it, I suggest you do. It will be available on HBO On Demand on August 30th, I believe. So check that out. It's really well worth seeing. And here's the thing about Spike Lee. I'm not a huge fan of his films or anything, but I have to say that he did an amazing job with this documentary. I really, really enjoyed it. And of course, it really opened my eyes to some of the things on Hurricane Katrina, and it may for others as well. I can't even imagine that there's a, you know, because we're only in August now, the end of August, or coming to the end of August, and we still have like September, October, November yet to go, or maybe I think it ends November 1st, but there's still a chance we could have a major hurricane, although it's looking like this season's going to be relatively quiet in terms of hurricanes, but there's still a chance one could come. I mean, they form in a matter of days, so you never know. So anyway, the whole point of this is that the 1 year anniversary of Katrina is coming up, and this will not be the last time that we talk about this on Archer Radio, because as you know, my boyfriend is from New Orleans. His family lives there and had damage from the storm, and they've repaired their house, and their things are relatively back to normal. However, they're still live in fear of things coming up. But anyway, so that's Hurricane Katrina. But I do want to move on to something else. So let's move on to something else.
Weeks from today, Americans will go to the polls to elect a new Congress, and the Iraq war will be a central issue. Democrats, you expect to be critical of the war, but now more and more Republicans are expressing criticism as well, including today one very prominent member of the GOP. Here's our senior national correspondent, Jake Tapper.
Ohio State University.
In Ohio today, Senator John McCain, an ardent supporter of the Iraq war, accused the Bush administration of failing to adequately prepare the American public for war.
We were led to believe that this would be some kind of a day at the beach.
The likely 2008 presidential candidate specifically singled out for criticism President Bush's 2003 mission accomplished event.
The biggest mistakes we made was underestimating the size of the task and the sacrifice that would be required. Stuff happens, mission accomplished, last throws.
McCain's remarks come amidst a number of once supportive Republicans now distancing themselves from President Bush and the war in Iraq. On television, on the campaign trail, and in leading conservative magazines.
It is related to profound anxieties as to whether the administration has misread certain facts of life about how the world works.
The president recently acknowledged how tough the war is, but remains firm in his convictions.
You don't succeed by leaving before the mission is complete.
In June, Minnesota Republican Congressman Gil Gutnick stood with Mr. Bush.
Now is not the time to go wobbly. Let's give victory a chance.
But after a trip to Iraq in July, Gutnick said conditions were worse than expected. What I think we need to do more is withdraw more Americans, he said. In Pennsylvania, Congressman Mike Fitzpatrick, who voted for the war, is now telling voters in this mailing that he says no to President Bush's stay-the-course strategy, which he calls extreme.
We've already seen Republican candidates spend a lot more time talking about how they disagree with the president than how they agree with the president.
The fates of President Bush and the war in Iraq are inextricably tied together, but many Republicans no longer want to be tied to either one. Jake Tapper, ABC News, Washington.
What you just heard was on the news on Tuesday evening. about the Republicans distancing themselves from President Bush. Surprise, surprise. It's about time these fucking Republicans are waking up and realizing that, hello, the war is wrong. And it's amazing that if they're only doing it now when their chances of re-election are in jeopardy. So, of course, they're going to distance themselves from an unpopular president who, I wouldn't say the majority, because there's a, actually, you can't say the majority of the country disapproves of his job performance, because I believe the latest, the latest one actually raises his approval rating to 42%, but that's still very low for a president. And he seems to think, you know, he was talking yesterday about the war in Iraq and how we're not going to pull back or anything like that. We're going to keep going. And it's like, what are you thinking? The majority of the world hates us. You know, don't you think it's about time you changed your thinking to get into line with the rest of the world? I mean, nobody likes us out there, and you've got all these fucking problems going on, and you're not doing anything to fix it. You just have this stay the course kind of mentality that's obviously not working and will not work. And as I mentioned on yesterday's podcast, we've been in Iraq longer than we were in World War II. What is that? You know, get a clue. God, he's so stupid. I don't want to go into that, but I just think that whole thing about the Republicans, you know, it's funny that they, well, I'm sure most politicians do it, is they go along with the tide. If the tide is to be behind the president and for the war, they do it. If the tide is to be against the president and against the war, they do it. They'll do anything they have to do to get reelected. Is it their actual true feelings? No, because they cited a couple congressmen in that piece that just months ago were one way and then 2 months later have changed their mind. It's like, God, politicians suck. All politicians suck. Democrats, Republicans, they all suck. Although I did see, changing the topic just slightly, that there was a poll done, I forget what it is, saying that if Gore and Hillary Clinton ran for president in 2008, that Gore right now is like 5 points behind Hillary or something like that. Well, we got plenty of time for that to come. Let's worry about these midterm elections first. In any case, those fucking Republicans are changing their mind again. So screw them. Okay, let's move on to another topic, one more topic, and we'll just have a little transition here. Now, it was reported late this evening, maybe this is news to you, but I'm sure it'll be first thing on the news, probably when you got up this morning, that Tom Cruise, you know, everyone loves Tom Cruise. Actually, no, they don't. But Tom Cruise has been dropped, or actually, I should say, his production company has been dropped from Paramount Pictures because of his conduct in the last year. And there was an article I got, it's out by the Wall Street Journal, but... And I found this on Reuters. Duh. Sometimes I sound so stupid, I know. Anyway, Reuters, it was on using the language from the... let me just read this. Paramount Pictures has cut its 14-year-old ties to Tom Cruise's production company because of his off-screen behavior, the chairman of the studio's parent company told the Wall Street Journal on Wednesday. Oh, they're reporting on Wednesday. But I'm reading it Tuesday night. It says the remarks by Viacom Incorporated's chairman, Sumner Redstone, signaled the end of one of the most lucrative production deals commanded by an A-list Hollywood star and followed other signs that Cruise's stature had been damaged by his conduct during the past year. There was no immediate response from Cruise representatives or the officials at Viacom. But anyway, they go on to talk about the different things and stuff, and then on the second page they talk about his latest movie, Mission Impossible 3, and it said that Mission Impossible 3 grossed $47.7 million in the first 3 days in North America, which was well short of the $60 million to $70 million that they expected by the industry watchers. But the film did go on to amass $393 million in ticket sales around the world. It's a tidy sum, but far less than his previous release from Paramount, War of the Worlds, which topped $591 million at the global box office. You know, $591 million down to $393 million. Big jump, yes, but hello, $393 million is still a lot of money. But I think that Paramount's decision to drop Tom Cruise is an excellent one, because as we have heard and talked about many times, and many people on different podcasts have talked about the same thing, that Tom Cruise is psycho. He's crazy. There's something going on with him. He's got, you know, too much shit going on in his head. And he's so rich, it doesn't matter. He's still, he topped Forbes, I think, where did I see that? I forget. He was one of the top Forbes 100 most influential people in Hollywood or something like that. So, yeah. Anyway, so that's the Tom Cruise thing. Now, let's move on to Big Brother 7. I waited until after Big Brother 7 to record this show so that I could talk about it, because there were some big goings on Big Brother 7. As you know, well, okay, before I even start talking, if you have not seen it from last night's show, then you might want to turn the podcast off, because there could be some spoilers here. Okay. On Sunday's show, you saw that Howie was kicked out, and he was very mad, and he went out like a big baby and just was not good. Well, then Mike Boogie became head of household. Well, who did he nominate? He nominated James and Janelle. And the thing is, Mike Boogie and Dr. Will, both of them are working the scenes behind, you know, everybody, and they're against everybody, basically, but everybody thinks that they have an individual alliance with them. Like, Janelle thinks she does, James thinks he does. They all are, like, falsely believing that they are in cahoots with Mike Boogie and Dr. Will. But, of course, really, in reality, none of them have any connections with them whatsoever that are reliable. And, of course, they're like stupid, because they don't think that they're lying. They're actually trusting them. And that's the worst thing you can do in this game. So anyway, there was discussions back and forth about who Mike was going to nominate before, and James was like, oh yeah, I expect you to nominate me, and Janelle said, yeah, go ahead and nominate me. So they both got, excuse me, nominated, and then of course they have some time in between the nomination and the actual power of veto competition. But in the power of veto competition, they had to do this little thing where they got these dolls and they had to, like, race to get them and stuff. And there was a little controversy, because in one of the rounds, James and Janelle both were fighting over doll. And James claims that he was kicked by Janelle. And they did show that she actually did kick him, but it was totally by accident. And that he got a little scratch from her. And that, you know, he was all pissed off, because, of course, that was the round that he got kicked out. So then it came down to, and basically pretty much Mike Boogie and Will, well, I think more Will than Mike Boogie. Will was kind of like throwing the game on purpose. But it looked to me like Mike Boogie was really trying up until his last round. And then it came down to Janelle and Erica. And Janelle, I have to say, she was a good player. She ran out there and got what she needed. And Erica was still searching around and didn't get it. So it ended up that Janelle won the head of household. I mean, not head of house, duh, power of veto. So then, of course, at the power of veto ceremony, she took herself off the block. And that means, of course, that Mike Boogie has to nominate somebody else. And he nominated Chicken George. And it sounded like Chicken George knew that he was going to be nominated and that he was fine with it. Because what's going to happen, even though James feels that he's safe, I think he's actually going to be evicted on Thursday, which is a shame, because he's such a honey and I love him. Only his looks. I don't love his personality. I think he's got an absolutely awful personality. But anyway, so now it's James and Chicken George on the nomination for eviction. And I think that James will be kicked out, but it'll be interesting to hear from other people who watch the show, like Remarkably Mark or Big Fatty or Mike Hip, what they think is going to happen. I'm sure they'll probably agree that James will be kicked out. But it would be a shame if Chicken George is kicked out, because he's like a floater who's, granted, just like Will said, he kind of like doesn't know what he's doing. He still has a place there, because he can be, you know, stuck in for different things. But oh, you know, and the other thing about Chicken George, I don't know if you noticed this, or even for those of you who are watching it, Chicken George, during the veto ceremony, he was wearing a green shirt with red letters that said, "Anyone for a alliance?" And I'm thinking, God, George, you just showed how stupid you are. It's not a alliance, it's an alliance. Anyone for an alliance? I'm just thinking, oh, man, that poor old man. Not, he's not that old. But he's showing how stupid he is by wearing that shirt that he obviously created himself. And I'm thinking, oh, this is so embarrassing. You know, granted, I am not the best at my grammar and my writing, but I know simple articles that you need to have an "and" before a word that starts with a vowel. Ugh, poor George. Did anybody else notice that on his shirt, that he had "Anyone for A Alliance"? Please let me know if you noticed that, or if it was just me acting stupid, which I sometimes do. But anyway, so that's the Big Brother update, and on Thursday we'll find out who gets evicted from the house, and my prediction is James. Although I haven't been watching the feed because I haven't had time the last couple days, so I really don't have any inside information. That's just a total guess. But, you know, and I might have to spend a couple minutes watching the feed just to see what's up. Okay, so that's Big Brother. You know, I did mention during that Big Brother discussion, I talked about Mike Hipp. And I think I need to just mention briefly, because I know we've gotten some new listeners in the past couple months, and I don't know that I have really let them know who Mike Hipp is, and if that's if they don't even listen to other podcasts. But Mike Hipp runs a website called podcastsoup.net, and where he summarizes different podcasts that he listens to. He also runs a candle business called Candles by Phoebes, and he sells these cool soy candles. And I suggest, if you are a new listener and don't know anything about Mike Hipp, go to podcastsoup.net or to Candles by Phoebes and check him out, because Mike is a great supporter of the show, and I really appreciate it. Actually, he also wrote a comment on yesterday's post about Big Brother too, so he's really participatory in the podcast, and I appreciate it. Thanks, Mike. And finally tonight we have I've been getting some email and some as I mentioned, the comments, and we got a voicemail, believe it or not. There was a while there where we were getting a lot of voicemails and a lot of Chingo messages, but lately it's slowed down. But Ramble Redhead did send us, or I should say, he called the listener line, and you know what? You know how I have Big Fatty or the Little Fatty Cast's listener line memorized? 206-339-6FAT? Yeah, that's for the Little Fatty Cast. I have no idea what my listener line number is. It's like, see, now it's not coming up. God damn it. I can't even remember what it is. It's like 206. I don't know what it is, 1875 or something. That's so embarrassing, I don't even know what it is. But it's on the website, that's the thing. So anyway, we got a voicemail message from Ramble Redhead, and I'm going to play that for you now. So listen to this voicemail from Ramble Redhead.
Hey Archer, this is Tom, aka Ramble Redhead. Just want to tell you, I'm listening to your two latest shows, and I just have to say, aww, congratulations on your 1.5 year relationship with the boyfriend. That is marvelous, and I wish you both all the very best, and I wish to be together for many more years. So you take care and have a great one, and again, congratulations. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Tom. That was so sweet of you to give us congratulations on our 1.5 year anniversary. It's not a huge anniversary, but we did note it, that's for sure. And thank you for those congratulations. And then I wanted to say that I got some email from Travis. Travis is a regular listener of ours, and as I said to him in the email, I think about him at every single show because I know how much he doesn't care for the burping, and I try hard not to burp during the show. So he was writing to congratulate me on working so hard not to burp on the shows and to talk about other things too. So Travis, thank you for the email. I appreciate it very much. And of course, I got an email from Big Fatty. Big Fatty sends out this to a couple of us, this graphic showing who's nominated and who gets evicted on certain weeks. And it's a cool graphic. So I thank you, Big Fatty. And I wrote him back saying thank you for that. And I expect an update after Thursday's show. So, yeah. Anyway, now, let's see. Tomorrow is Thursday. And the boyfriend and I, we thought, you know, I think we mentioned on Monday or Tuesday show when we were coming back from the concert from Chris Isaac. But on Thursday, we are going to go to the Wolf Trap Center for the Performing Arts one more time this summer, because we just went ahead and bought tickets on Tuesday, to see Bruce Hornsby. Does anybody remember Bruce Hornsby from the 80s? I think it was late 80s, early 90s. Well, he is performing at the Wolf Trap for the Performing Arts, and we are going to go for our last summer concert. Now, the boyfriend has been working all this week, so he might be a little tired because, you know, we don't usually get back from the concerts until like 11:30 or something like that. So he'll be tired again on Friday. And but I don't start back to work technically until next Monday, but I have been to work a couple days this week already, and I will be there a couple more days this week. So I might be tired, but I might not be. Anyway, I think that's all for today, boys and girls. Thank you for staying subscribed and sending all the messages, and thanks to Tom Ramble Redhead for the voicemail, and I suggest everybody else send it. Oh, and by the way, the voicemail line number is 206-666-1876. So call Archer Radio and leave a message. Or, of course, you can use the My Chingo system on the website. And, of course, leave comments and messages. All right, that's all for today, boys and girls. Thanks for listening. And until next time, bye.
Archer Radio.